please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 546. My name, as always, is Lisa Sheps, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host extraordinaire, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this puppy live at KOOP.org. You better not leave this dial.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
You can play with your food.
It is Wednesday, December 11th. On the show today, we have City Theater and their show, Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche. Later on, we'll be talking about Broadway Across America's Dear Evan Hansen. And of course, we'll have lively discussions with news and views of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, Salisbury, and Steak. Don't go away.
Just as soon as I have got my napkin folded.
He's got his napkin folded.
Yes, before he has it.
that was from Honk.
You know, I have
it hasn't been produced. I believe it was a conceptual.
No, Honk's been done around.
Has it?
Yeah.
All right, okay, then I was wrong. Yeah. Anyway, that's called Play With Your Food.
I was like, it makes me laugh. I love some. I was like, I haven't heard Honk, it.
I believe it's about a duck.
Yes, I love it.
Oh, we have some nods going on. Yes, it's about a duck. Do y'all know it?
Yes, it's the story of the ugly ducking.
Uh-huh. Oh, see, what I know. I didn't even think it was produced. Before I introduce these disembodied voices we just heard, I'm going to check in with Nicole Shiro. How you doing?
I'm here.
You're purchasing a new car.
I am.
That's exciting.
Theater
unto itself.
It's the same car I have now. It's just the next one. I'm going to give my grandmother the one I have.
You know what? I miss haggling. I used to love going to buy a new car because I love that dance that you do. I do.
Do you want to come with me and come finish up that dance?
No, don't you go to the same guy you always go to?
There's
but... There's no haggling anymore. Not really.
Not really. No, you're right. I mean, there are in other countries.
Yeah, well, maybe
that's like totally the thing to do there, and it's insulting if you don't.
Maybe
so.
I'll do that. No, I like. Let me be clear. I like haggling with car dealerships. I feel really bad in the little stalls in places that you're supposed to haggle, but I don't want to. It's like my grandmother sitting there. What am I going to?
I know.
I'm going to give her as many shekels as I can give her.
I think that's why they put the grandmother sitting there.
Anyway.
So you feel that way.
So let's introduce the folks that are here with us. Shannon Embry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And new to the show is Sunshine Garrison.
Hello, hello.
Who's got the best name in the universe. You've heard that before.
A million times.
Okay. Let's say, I think she likes
never
her
tired.
Name too.
Yeah,
I,
never get tired. People sing to you, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Several different variations of different songs.
So do you get Sunshine Superman, which I sang to you when you came into the studio? Mm-hmm. Do you get Good Morning Starshine, even though it's not Sunshine?
No, not that one.
Good Morning Starshine.
That's a good one that you just pulled
out. It is a good one.
I do love
that. So welcome to the show. At some point, I'm guessing Andrew Burkowski will come and join us, but he may not. He seems to have disappeared. But let's talk about what's
been... He looked at you and me and was like, let me run while I can.
It's scary. Well, anyway, let's talk about the openings that we had this week on The Great White Way. Actually, opening singular, One Jagged Little Pill.
Was there more than one? Did I miss
Well, there was
something?
Some pretty big off-Broadway
stuff. Off-Broadway,
yeah.
I didn't know if we were doing both summer, but you know, we mix it up.
We do regional
sometimes, too.
There are no rules here.
There
in
are
offstage.
No rules here. If it's theater, it's on offstage and on the air.
That's true. Jagged Little Pill was reviewed by Mr. Jesse Green. It's a critic's pick. Pretty ravey all around, actually.
So I watched a really good interview with her this week. She's always kind of driven me nuts.
Alanis?
Yes. I grew up.
Wait, you are her demographic.
Yeah, I never liked it. Okay. Drove me nuts. I'd be like, get the screaming lady off the radio.
Shannon, get that microphone right in front of you.
I was like, this is an angry girl. And I was a punk rocker, so I was all about anger, but there was something about her that rubbed me the wrong way. Never.
All right.
I don't know.
She hit on my boyfriend once, too, and that kind of.
That would
make me angry, well, but.
21.
I don't know. Alanis, the 45-year-old woman who she is now in 2019, I found thoroughly enjoyable, and I loved hearing her go. When they approached me to do this musical, I went, yeah, I don't like jukebox musicals, so I don't want to do it. And I was like, whoa, and it made me stop and listen. And I now became curious. I'm still not going to go run to see it. It's not my cup of tea, but I think that's great.
All right. Well, I would go see it mainly because Diane Paulus, who I kind of think can do no wrong.
It's a great cast.
Yeah, a great cast.
Sherry Renee Scott.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
So I will say that Jesse Green, it was a convert from the original that he saw. He said that the show's first incarnation, it was difficult to discern the central story and a plot so overtangled with issues that it came to seem like a cantata of discontent. So evidently they took all the issues, because it's an issue-born show. It deals a lot with mental health.
Yes.
It deals with the opioid crisis. It deals with a lot of different issues. And evidently when it first opened up in, where was it? In
Boston?
In Cambridge, Massachusetts. Yeah. They threw in every single thing.
It was everything.
Me too.
Issue in the
everything
kitchen sink.
In there. And,
yeah.
Evidently, they've honed the script. They concentrate basically on two things, which is an opioid addiction and mental health. Now they did. They said Diane Paulus did more than just fiddle with the show. Now the show is fully in focus, clear in its priorities, rich in character, sincere without syrup, rousing and real.
Yeah, it looked really fascinating. It just would be, her music makes me bonkers. It would be hard to sit through a full musical of it for me. But I was really intrigued by the whole thing.
And the music was arranged by Tom Kitt.
Yes.
Who also did the music for Next to Normal, amongst other things.
And the set and the whole vibe was very Next to Normally. So that was the one thing that I was like, really?
Yep. Well, it's, and even the subject matter is kind of Next to Normally as well.
Yes, which is why I was like, it's just a little all... But I really enjoyed my interview with Alana, so I was like, hats off to you.
The choreography, I just want to mention this person's name because it's a great name, and I won't be able to pronounce it, but it's Siddi Larbi Sherkawi.
Okay, that is an amazing name.
Yeah. So he also says that Jagged Little Pill may be the first jukebox musical to truly make sense of the genre. Which I think is high praise, especially because I think that Jersey Boys did a good job with the genre as well.
I think Jersey Boys did, and I'd put Tina Turner, the musical, up there.
I'm going to just agree with you.
Yeah.
So
because I don't like the jukebox musicals. I enjoy those too a lot.
I'm with you. Here's a synopsis of the plot. It's about a family, the Healys. They appear to be the picture. The picture-perfect... They're the picture-perfect suburban family. But looks can be deceiving. When the cracks beneath the surface begin to show, they must choose between maintaining the status quo or facing the harsh truths about themselves, their community, and the world around them. Some of the other reviews, Matt Windman of AM New York said, Jagged Little Pill proves to be one of the most artistically sound, well-integrated, and crowd-pleasing jukebox musicals to materialize on Broadway in some time. Roma Torre of New York One said the performances are all quite powerful, starting with Elizabeth Stanley, who both acts and sings through the gaunt of emotions with virtuosic finesse.
I'd like to be told I sing with virtuosic finesse. I'm just saying.
Nicole, you sing with virtuosic finesse.
Aw, thank you, Lisa Shepps.
Tim Tiemann says, a jukebox musical that is really different and sets a standard for others to aspire to the same, and one that is as provocatively written as it is beautifully performed.
Yeah, I think I got the gist that the Kinks were out of it. It looked interesting to me. It's just her music. I don't know what to say.
I like it.
I think it's great. And I have a lot of friends that love Alanis Morissette, so I've been like, check this out. This was great. Oh my gosh. Because I think it's great they've got something there.
And I will
about.
Just say that a distinction for me is not so much angry, but angst, which is a kind of a difference. But I find her music angsty.
Yeah, I think it goes past that.
Yeah, it might.
I just think it's like angry nasty. Yeah. So it's one thing to be angry, and then there's like angry nasty, and that's just what I got from it.
So, Shannon, don't you think that it did not escape my notice that she hit on your boyfriend, and we're going to talk about that later. So just so you know that you're not getting away with that. Off-Broadway, we had an opening called The Greater Clements, which I was listening to some of my podcasts. I was expecting the New York Times review to be positive, but it was not.
No.
It's Samuel D. Hunter, who also wrote Pocatello. He writes about Idaho. I mean, yeah, why not?
Why not?
It's a niche.
Yeah. It's a niche. Yeah. He's the Idaho
guy.
It's
a beautiful state. Has some great national
parks. It is a beautiful state.
To get some passport. Yeah. It really is a beautiful
state. I played Pocatello with Joffrey Ballet. Mm-hmm. I've been in Pocatello.
Wow. Yeah.
He called it this is again Jesse Green. He had a disappointed take on Greater Clements. It says it was streaked with veins that plunge very deep. It is also too obvious in its dramatic intent to support a nearly 3-hour running time or to offer the convincing indictment of an American a word I can't pronounce. It clearly wishes it could.
He did not sugarcoat that.
No. Despite the fact that Judith Ivey is in it, and she got great notices. They said she did a great job.
You can have great people in bad shows. It happens.
This is true. So he said specifically, Ivy is terrific. She's one of those actors who seem to turn their nervous system over to their roles.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah. I do the same thing, but it usually has to do with eating dinner. My dinner rolls. His final paragraph in his review says, as a play, though, it is like that mine elevator. Creaky and skeletal, but with intermittent access to wonderful things. If you're looking to cry, as I always am, Greater Clements will give you more than one reason to do so.
Oh, yeah. Again, not sugarcoating.
No. Tearing up already?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it for the reviews. Now I come to the fun discussions that I want to have.
Well, where are you going to go? Because there's a few good things. I didn't even look to see what, because you and I were having such a lovely conversation pre-show. I didn't look at here.
Here's where I need to start.
Okay. What's the crime?
Well, the crime is destruction of property.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going on this.
This is in Salt Lake City in Utah Repertory Theater. They were about to go on stage with a production of American Psycho.
Which I love.
I know you do.
Duncan Cheek.
I know you do.
Oh.
Well,
when you have a blood spatter zone in the audience, that's a good time.
One of the actors, Ryan Charette, quit the show and vandalized the set, putting words that say, blank this show. Mm-hmm. And starts with the letter F. He was arrested for vandalism, but he was protesting a toxic work environment at this theater. And so he quit, as did the entire rest of the cast. And this actually caused the shutdown of the entire theater.
I was about to say it made the whole theater shut down. Yes.
It made the whole theater shut down. And it's a theater that's only 7 years old, but they've done a lot of work. But they say it's a toxic work environment. There were sexual harassment allegations. Lots of things happen. What I found interesting is, so this is a non-union theater, but the actors reached out to Equity about the problems that they were having.
Yeah, I know.
And Equity said, okay, we'll keep this on file. I just find that kind of interesting.
They could have at least said, go see Jagged Little Pill.
Right.
They should have. According to the representative of the Utah rep, they said, to my knowledge, no individual has ever come forward with charges of sexual harassment or misconduct as described by Mr. Charette against the accused. And on their website, I'll just read part of this. Never mind. On their website, they talk about having closed down. So they say, after 7 years, starting with a hailed 2012 production of Sideshow, including, and it lists a lot of the shows, Utah Repertory Theater Company is closing its doors and ceasing production, just like that. But in 7 years, they've done Sideshow, Bonnie and Clyde, mm-hmm. Grace, Bear, Title of Show, Ordinary Days, Heather's the Musical, The Other Place, Bridges of Madison County, Straight, Afterglow, and then Sweeney Todd. What I found interesting in one of the articles they talked about, and I don't have it written here, they talked about the budget for American Psycho was $29,000. And as that's half of what...
That's why when the whole thing closed, I was like, whoa, that's a big budget show on top of like...
That's not a big budget show. That's a small... I mean, I couldn't produce that for $29,000.
Most of it's the blood.
What?
Most of the budget is the blood. It's
is the
not,
blood?
Yeah, there's...
Oh, no. That's... No, they actually parsed there's out a, what's being paid.
There's
for.
Not... yeah, the show itself never had a big...
No, I'm talking about this... This particular... You cannot produce a musical for $29,000 in Austin. It just can't be done. I don't understand how they do
that. Through here in Utah.
Well, still.
It's a very different
But anyway, but if you think about what... they did as a company, as what they're doing in Salt Lake City, they're doing some edgy stuff.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, kudos to them. But if I tend to believe that if a lot of people are throwing around allegations, there's usually truth to them.
Probably, but I find it interesting that they chose to not go talk to the media or take a different route and instead have a whole theater closed down where now there's no space for the community and no space. Like, why wouldn't you want to fix it or take a bunch of people and take it over and talk to the media? So many other ways to go about this. I totally think the dude should have been arrested for vandalism. But I was kind of like, man, y'all could have turned this around and made some serious lemonade.
All right. Well, so let's hear straight from the horse's mouth, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely fair for the city to charge me with criminal mischief because I am a criminal. I did a criminal act.
Ryan Charette admits that he broke the law. On Saturday morning, he walked away from his role in American Psycho the Musical. But that's not all. He also vandalized the floor and the backdrop of the set with profanity on his way out.
Before I painted this set, I knew that there were cameras everywhere in that building. I knew that I was not going to get away with it.
He actually, later on in that interview, he teared up and got quite emotional just talking about the toxic environment and that, et cetera,
but imagine if he had done that before he destroyed the set.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I would guess that before it got to this point, other steps had tried to be taken. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I could be wrong. I don't know. Anyway, I'm changing the subject because I can. It's my show. Has anybody seen the Cats?
Which one?
The trailer.
Yeah, there's a few.
I don't know. I've only seen one.
Yeah, there's a few.
I only needed to see one.
I had no idea. So I read an article today talking about all the backlash from the Cats trailer. And I said, okay, I've heard nothing. I don't do social media.
Did you get through it?
So I went, I watched the trailer. Just scary to begin with. But then what I liked on the YouTube channel.
It's like a car wreck you can't look away from.
Said they people couldn't deal with Judy Dench with a furry face. It's kind of scary.
And that didn't scare
and
me.
And Rebel
as much
Wilson
as other
was
stuff.
A little scary too, as
yeah.
well. And but I just briefly looked through the comments underneath it, and this one comment in all caps said, "Oh my, OMG! Could you imagine just walking home one night and then see one of these ugly demonic human hybrid cats running towards you?"
Yeah,
because they're showing all them walking, running down
yeah.
the
yeah,
city
right
street.
Yeah, running down the city street.
Scary.
Did you read the article about Andrew Lloyd Webber watching it this week?
Oh, I heard that he, yeah,
so
he
everybody,
liked it though, right?
Yeah, and it was like this whole article and it was like, he liked it. He really liked it. And they were, some insider wrote, the tension was high. After all the backlash from the trailer, the tension in the room was so high, like, will Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber like this or not? And he was like, oh, that's quite smashing.
But so, Cats is weird, right?
So yeah, but it is. It jumped the shark. It's bad.
It jumped the shark.
It did.
So who's going to go see it? I'm guessing Shannon is.
I'm gonna see
Are
it.
You a Cats fan?
I like like cats.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just like doing something different. You know, okay. Let's do something kind of, I'm sure as an artist, if you're used to doing all the more traditional scripts, it can be fun to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do 10 projects this year. And one of them, I'm going to be a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunshine, you can go see it. Sunshine,
I feel like maybe I would listen to the soundtrack, but I just can't keep my eyes on
That's one. That's one thing I won't do.
It's the creepiest CG I've ever seen.
But the dancing looks good too.
Well, and that's weird. And I don't. It's looking at the dancing, and I guess they're doing that. The performers are actually dancing, and they're doing with the little dots that they put all over the costumes. But you look at it, and if you think of it as animation, you go, okay, great. Part of the joy of watching dance is seeing the skill of the performer dance. But with CGI.
So they all danced in, I can send you a really cool thing how they filmed this. They danced in the suits with the little balls, but they fully did everything almost like on a set. And the CGI was like painted on them. It wasn't full traditional.
Okay.
And it does, it looks creepy. Okay. You should have full on done the traditional and that. But they painted that kind of stuff on
them.
Someone
had clearly watched Lord of the Rings and thought, Gollum looks really good. What if we did cats like Gollum?
Yeah, it's kind of like they painted over them, though. They didn't fully just create a whole CGI character, yeah, which is weird.
Well, that's why,
and that's why I don't think it works.
The Christmas thing, the Christmas movie with Tom Hanks and the train. I don't know what it's
called. Oh, the Polar Express. That one creeps me out too,
because it's just too real. It's, but yet not. It's creepy.
It's weird.
Okay, so we've talked about Shinobi. What are the
Shippoopi?
Serenbi Theater company up in Georgia that does all the immersive stuff.
Oh yeah, they're the helicopter and right. The Titanic sinking.
Well, the guy that started that, the former artistic director Brian Cloudus, is doing immersive Heathers in a school.
I was like, they're going to school? They're going to class
in 2020. He says it's going to be all around. So he says, picture walking down the halls of the school with the Heathers slamming lockers right and left. In a production where you aren't watching, you are in it. This immersive production will come to life using state-of-the-art technology in which every space of the school becomes part of this cult classic musical.
Okay, that's so much fun.
Yeah.
I love this guy. He's the one who did Peter Pan. Remember he created Never Never Land in the woods?
Yeah, he's the best.
And the Titanic sank. The whole set sank while they were performing. I'm like, this is the coolest thing. He landed the real helicopter.
Yeah, he's doing this in Ohio.
He's taking it outside of it.
Well, no, he's not in Serenity.
He left there.
He left there.
Well, he needs to come to Austin and do something.
Yeah, I think so. And then what else do I want to talk about? Well, I'm going to save that to the last thing. Beetlejuice. We were going to talk about Beetlejuice. Mm. That should kind of get one of these.
I was like, it should get one. Great.
They're being evicted. They have been evicted from their theater.
Listen. I don't get the whole why everyone likes the Beetlejuice musical. I love the movie, but I still just don't get this musical.
Well,
but it is making bank right now, and people love it.
Well,
and they're booting them. And I love Hugh, but no, that's wrong.
Here's the interesting thing. So in all the theaters, they have a clause on...
Stop clause.
Say that again?
Stop clause.
The stop clause. Thank you. I just didn't... It sounded like you said stack.
Stop clause.
So they have the stop clause. So if 2 weeks in a row, your grosses... don't hit a certain percentage of what's possible, they have the right to kick you out, which is exactly what happened to Beetlejuice in the first 2 weeks after lackluster reviews. Since then, though, they have turned everything around, and they are now in positive numbers. Their grosses are good, but that clause remains in effect from when they first opened, and the Schuberts, the largest theater landlord in New York, is just kicking them out for...
Music Man, Hugh Jackman.
The Music Man. And the last performance currently is on June 6th. But what I found interesting, hold on.
The whole theater move with To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah, they offered to move To Kill a Mockingbird from the Schubert to a smaller house so that the Music Man could go into the Schubert. And they
so that Beetlejuice could go into the Schubert.
No,
they couldn't move the Schubert. No, because they came back and then said, it's too costly to move the Beetlejuice set.
To the company offered to pay to relocate To Kill a Mockingbird box office, also produced by Rudin, from the Schubert to a smaller house so the Music Man could be staged at the Schubert while the Beetlejuice remained at the Winter Garden.
Right, and that was way back when, in the very beginning. And then it went back and they were going to move Beetlejuice. And then they said, the Beetlejuice set is so much more expensive and will cost more. And then the final statement, and I put it in the air quotes, is... neither sides of producers could come to an agreement.
No, so they're kicking them out. kicking him out.
So they blame it on all the producers.
There is a change.org has a petition to keep them. Like that would do anything.
Let me tell you something. I couldn't figure out why Beetlejuice was so crazy. Beetlejuice was so crazy trending online yesterday, and there were some angry fans. I was like, whoa.
All right. So the last thing I want to talk about is West Side Story. It started previews last night. And this is the Eva Van Hove rendition.
Met a girl named Maria.
Which is me too. Mm-hmm. Which has got a lot of controversy. Has anybody heard of any of the stuff that's going on? No, well, first of all, they took this 2.5 hour musical and they pared it down to 90 minutes with no intermission. Theoretically, or in theory, in doing that, they got rid of I Feel Pretty as a number. They got rid of the ballet. But there's an article in, I got to find where the article, the article in, where is it? What's from Showbiz 411 by Roger Freeman, who says now that the choreography, they for the first time were not using Jerome Robbins' choreography. They had a new modern choreographer named Anne Teresa de Kirschmeyer. Is now been there's Sergio Trujillo. I cannot speak today. Trujillo has been brought in to consult choreographically, and evidently he's scrapped everything, bringing the Jerome Robbins stuff back in.
I was like, would they cause, that was another big anger about that. And basically, I'm like, this is just not nice how they're doing this. And the words, and I put them in air quote again, that they're using.
So the words I heard from the invited preview from one of the podcast listeners, everybody's saying that they really enjoyed it, but there's a lot of negative and interesting buzz around this particular production, but they have 2 months of previews. 2 months of previews.
That's a long amount of preview.
I'm suspicious.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Suspicious. And everybody's waiting to see the Steven Spielberg movie that's coming out next year, and I'm looking forward to that. So let's take a little break and come back and learn what's happening with City Theater, shall we?
Yes.
Eva Van Hove can take it out, but I'm putting it right back in.
Okay.
I feel pretty.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
So we're going to switch gears here. We've been having a lovely conversation with our guests, Sunshine Garrison and Shannon Embry. And now we're going to switch gears and talk to them about the show that they are doing with City Theater called Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche, which was my sorority name in college. Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche. Sounds like fun. I'm guessing, before you say anything, I don't know anything about the show, but I'm guessing it has five characters, mostly women, and they're eating.
Don't forget.
Maybe a quiche.
Spot on.
Don't forget the sand. It's a beach. Didn't you say beach?
No beach.
Oh, I thought said beach and threw beach in there. Now
I didn't. Okay, so tell us about this show, Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche.
Oh, gosh. Each five ladies are such characters of their own, but they're all ladies, of course, in the 1950s. And we're meeting together for our annual quiche breakfast in our hall, a community center hall. And the prize-winning quiche is the best award that you can get, because we get to try your quiche first, and that's just what we're obsessed with. Our year culminates with this quiche breakfast.
I'm all about a good quiche.
I mean, it's not a drama, I will tell you that. It's really taking place in the era when we're 1956, where there's heavy sexual repression going on. None of the women in the room identify as a lesbian by any means. But there's also some big Cold War paranoia happening at the same time.
So what is the significance of calling it Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche if we're not identifying as lesbians?
Well, the night is young, right? As the show progresses and communist threat does manifest, they start changing their minds on certain things.
Oh, I see. It's always about the commies.
Yes.
You know what? We have to take a quick little tangent.
Okay.
And Sunshine, I'm going to ask you to choose a number between 2 and 53.
39.
Let's see what that is.
Hi, I'm Robert Biederman, playing Captain George Brackett in the cast of South Pacific on Tour, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
Okay, we cannot get rid of Robert Biederman.
Robert Biederman stalks us. And you know why? It's because we were talking South Pacific earlier.
That's
and
what
that
it
we
was.
Beetlejuiced ourselves.
That's what it was. And we are we're thinking about Nick Mayo.
And that's it, and just ties it all
together. We're missing Nick Squared.
I am missing the
Nick
Mayo.
Nick Squared. Okay, so tell us back to you. Tell us about Shannon, what's your character?
My character's name is Dale Priest.
You're a priest.
I am. There's a little bit of that, but I'm one of the younger lesbians in the group, or ladies who lunch in the group, and I'm very much excited about the event. I'm the historian, but as the show unfolds, you start understanding that I have a lot of demons in my closet too, and I'm a bit wacky, and it's a fun character, kind of a more of the ditzier blonde of the group.
And you are neither of those things.
I am not, but you should see this wig. It's fantastic.
Sunshine, tell us
fun
about your character.
Fun wigs are always a good time.
My character's name is Jenny, and I'm coming fresh over the pond from Manchester, and I'm new to this group of ladies, these widows, lesbians. I mean, widows again. But I am such an attention hog. I'm a people pleaser. I'm trying to fit in as hard as I can to the point that I'm quite annoying at the same time. But throughout the play, there's a moment where I'm the last one and I finally get this acceptance from the group in a very controversial way.
Uh-oh.
So
go ahead, Shannon.
There's just so much of the comedy of the show. I mean, it is one of those where you just laugh the whole time, is because it's a completely ridiculous situation, but none of the women on stage recognize anything as ridiculous whatsoever to them. It's totally real, and this is winning this prize quiche is the most important thing.
And are y'all wearing those fabulous 50s dresses?
Oh, I have
the full
quite the petticoat.
That's got to be a lot of fun, though.
Yes. Oh, it is. We're
you
quite
get to
floofy.
Be Barbara Bigsley, Big Barbara... Leave it to Beaver's mom, Barbara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
now
anyway.
You've got Bill Bixby in my head.
Yeah,
the whole
anyway,
so.
June Cleaver.
Yes.
And the actress's name is Barb Billingsley.
No,
yeah,
yes. Barbara Billingsley. Right.
Oy vey, okay. That was hard to get there. So y'all are set to do a little scene, are you not?
Oh, absolutely. We're actually going to start you out as we do all meetings with our Susan B. Anthony anthem.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Just a section of it. Yes.
Okay. Well,
so it's not a musical, but we do.
But
get
you
a
have
song
so, it's
there.
A it's a play with music. We'll just call it that.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
This is Sunshine Garrison and Shannon Embry doing a scene from City Theater's Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche.
We are the Susan B. Anthony Society for the Sisters of Gertrude Stein. We are a strong and vibrant society together till the end of all time.
Oh. Sisters, can you believe it's that holiday time of the year again? The tasting of the first quiche. I don't think I need to reiterate the importance of the egg to me in my life, all of our lives. As I explained in the foreword of my best-selling textbook, Women Can, yes, the history of the egg is as close to the Lord Baby Jesus as a piece of food can get. So pure, so perfectly shaped, so delicious. I remember the first time I ate quiche. Ooh, I was so young, sprightly, naive, and that first bite. Ooh, I don't think I'd ever find others who enjoyed quiche as much as I did. And then I found you all, my sisters, my fellow widows, and I, for one, cannot wait for you all to try this year's prize quiche.
Okay. Metaphor taken.
Yes, and I have one other little section.
Oh, there's more. I'm yes. So sorry. Keep going.
So here I am entering with a portrait of our founder provided by the lovely Robin Gamble. And she is the founder of the Susan B. Anthony for the Sisters of Gertrude Stein. And I have found a portrait that no one knew about before. Look what I found.
Oh my, what is that, Dale?
I thought Luli would just love this. I was digging through the archives the other day and I made the most incredible discovery. I found this old candid, very candid, portrait of Lady Maumont, taken just as she was beginning to clear the subdivision that is now known as Oak Tree Falls. Now, you can see here that she is returning from the colony of chickens. Mm. I have deduced this from the specially designed egg satchel that she is carrying. And just then, a mighty oak fell before her and blocked her path. And this portrait is taken just as she's beginning to chop up all that wood and clear her path. And even though that I know that this is candid, I look at this and I think, but that's a pose.
Oh!
Exactly. You see, the tree lands and she sees it and she's dealing with it. She's got a lot of eggs. She's got to build a town. She's got a tree in her way and she is dealing with it. And it is just the sheer drama of this pose. She was just one of those women. A woman who knew how to pose.
Look at her, sisters.
Yes.
None of us would be here if it weren't for her. Her determination became our future.
Oh my, that sounds like a lot of fun.
That was fun to him. This fun. I'm giggling in here.
Is it a two-actor or a one-actor?
It's a two-act. The first act is about 45 minutes, and the second act about 30 minutes.
Well, that's very...
Oh, that's just
That's good. That's very That's very palatable.
Yes.
And y'all have already opened, have you not?
Yes, we're starting our second week.
Yeah, how was
tomorrow.
The first week?
First weekend was full of healthy laughs. You could tell in the audience who knew what they were getting into because they were laughing right away, understanding the jokes. And then there becomes a part of the play where it's very clear and they're like, oh, now I'm with you, wink, wink. And
every audience member upon entry is given a name tag for a 1950s era woman's name that they just wear. So the Bertha... Rosemary, whatever,
Mary
and
Beth.
And I've heard that that fuels a lot of conversation and the in the intermission and so on. People just think it's fun to feel like they're yeah. the
characters. So what are some of the, what are some of the names other than Bertha?
We've got
Dolores, Myrtle,
Faye, Myrtle,
Gwendolyn,
Ruth,
but they're all. Sometimes they change throughout the night. Marjorie.
Yes.
They change throughout the night. How does that work?
Well, we just give it with different name tags out every night. And a lot of times people are like, oh, no, I really want this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would actually, yeah, I would change mine around for one that I felt more resonant with.
You have to connect to the name.
Yeah, you have to connect to the name. It sounds like a lot of fun. Who else is in the show?
So we have Christina Little Manley as our president, Luli. We
Dawn Aaron as Veronica Schultz.
And Kim Rubin as Ren Robin.
Excellent.
Those are all fun names, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I know that Andy Bukowski is the director and the City Theater production. And y'all are over at the Picture Box Studio.
That's
yes, over there on Tillery.
It's on Tillery and what? I'm not. Is it over where?
It's by East Austin Succulents.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that place, that area.
So Chavez.
That's great. I have not been over to Picture Box Studio yet, but I must go over. I know that Andy's been doing stuff over there a lot lately.
Yeah, it's a completely blank room, to be honest. And then Andy brings in everything. He mm-hmm. brings in the chairs.
The
whole
seats are elevated. Built. He has platforms for the chairs. And mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm. He's made it work for the theater on the road.
Yeah, well, and that's important. That's what, that's what we're having to do these days.
It is.
So how was it just... Do you have any dirt or anything you want to share from the rehearsal process or the show? How was the process of putting this together for you guys?
Oh, man. Honestly, for me personally, it's staying in character because I was just laughing throughout the whole rehearsal process at the jokes, even up until tech week. And I really had to like force myself knowing because I could hear some my friends' laughter. I was like, oh, my gosh, when my friends come to see this, I know they're going to laugh at this joke and I could hear it. And...
Right. It's a very physically exerting show just because there's so much energy. And with, by and large, we're all on the stage the entire time.
The whole time, yeah.
Right.
And so I guessed from the scene that we did before that this is Christmas themed. Then it takes place around the holidays.
It is the holiday quiche breakfast, yes. So yeah, there are nods to the holiday throughout the show. Mm-hmm.
Little carols,
did any of you fall in love with quiche more than you had before?
You know, ironically, I love quiche. And in the show, our show quiches are, I mean, they're show quiches, right? So
right.
They're so that we can eat them really quickly and bite them really quickly. So it's not like a full-fledged quiche. But when we're eating them on stage, we are selling it, I'm telling you.
I do love me a quiche.
Yeah, who doesn't love quiche?
I love quiche.
You know, in culinary school, that was one of the things that we had to do. It was they're relatively easy to make because you just throw eggs and then anything else you have in your refrigerator into a pie shell and throw it in the oven. You're done.
Ta-da!
Quiche, love quiche. Mm. Well, great. So you've already opened. When do you play through?
December 29th.
December 29th at the Picture Box Studio on Tillery. And where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to www.citytheater.org.
CityTheaterAustin.org. Thank you.
Well, awesome. Thank you guys for being on the show.
I'm hoping that was fun.
I'm hoping you can stick around and join us backstage. We have a lot of fun back there and we can learn more about you. And you can always stick around for the rest of our conversation.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Awesome. So that was Sunshine Garrison and Shannon Embry of City Theater's Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche. Play now through December 29th at Picture Box Studio. For more information, citytheateraustin.org. And we will be right back.
I wish I were a lesbian. My God, how I would...
We are back. Commercial over, as they say on Pod Save America.
Right? Wasn't that good?
Ad over. Hey, I went to go see Dear Evan Hansen last night.
I know.
It's playing at Broadway Across America. Did either of you go see it last night? Was it first night? Are you planning to see it while you're here?
I was looking for tickets this morning, trying to find something.
You know, I know that one of the members of my cast, Nick Norma, was giving our best offer ticket for last night's show. Okay.
There is a lottery a lot for this.
Yeah. So
for Dear Evan Hansen, there is a lottery.
Has anybody other than me seen it before?
Never.
No. Okay. Well, I saw the original with Ben Platt, which was pretty amazing. I thought that the show itself was amazing. I was also sitting, I remember, pretty far house right, because I had to pay for my own tickets. And last night I was right in center, and it is a different experience.
I was about to say, isn't it cool when you see a show and you're like in a totally different location? Right. I love doing that.
Well, specifically on this one, because it's filled with, it's in my humble opinion, a little overfilled with social media everywhere.
It is.
Which is part of its plot. But I will go on record, and you know this about me. I tend to be hypercritical.
I know.
I tend to like a lot less than I see. And I really enjoyed this performance.
You had a beaming face, beaming thing. I'm so upset that I couldn't end up going last night, but I had a feeling after knowing when the cast was in Houston last month, and I knew, I was like, ooh, I think Lisa's gonna be happy on this one.
I was thrilled to see it. The actor who played Evan Hansen was Stephen Christopher Anthony. And when I saw Ben Platt do it, he's amazing, but the role is this, the character has an unnamed disability.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different ways to play it. And Ben Platt played it in a very specific way. And as soon as it was over, I said, I can't wait to see somebody else do this, because this is truly a vehicle for the actor to really show their own stuff.
Isn't that great when roles are like that?
And I just couldn't wait to see it. And there was also a lot of fear, because I didn't want to see someone doing Ben Platt, doing Evan Hansen.
Right.
But this kid, I don't even know that he's a kid, this man, Stephen Christopher Anthony, was just amazing. Likeable, tragic, beautiful voice. He found some really great moments. I really liked him a lot. And the woman that played his mother, Jessica Sherman, I liked better than, what's her name?
I know, you said
what's
that.
Her name?
And I
just lost her name.
Whoa!
Three named person who got a Tony nomination
for
it.
No,
I think
no.
She won. I think
she did win, actually, yeah. Lisa.
But pretty much down the road,
I'm pretty sure she did.
It was a really good performance. I didn't like one thing about it.
What?
Major one thing, which I didn't like the lighting. The lighting, to me, was overdone. Mm. It called attention to itself, which I think is wrong. There was a lot of haze in the air, which is what lighting designers do so you can see the beams. And it wasn't the kind of show that really needed to see beams.
Mm-hmm.
Was it
that much different than New York, the design?
I don't remember being jarred. It's the same designer.
Who
got a Tony nomination for
that's
this.
That's what I thought. That's what
but
I'm
it's,
like, wait.
And I'm wondering if it's because it was so present. It's like every now and then there was directorially, I don't know whether this is done on purpose or not, but Evan Hansen plays a lot in this one space down right. And Every now and then he'd hit there and there's this light, this backlight behind him that would just bounce on really fast in different colors for apparently no reason. It kept jarring my attention away from the action. I just thought the lighting was just too... And a lot of movement where you didn't really need movement, just too much. If I notice the lighting...
You're pulled out.
I'm pulled out. Unless it's like indecent, the lighting was amazing and very specific, but at all, every choice
or
that lighting
when it's supposed to be a rock crazy concert, you know.
Yeah, well, but it needs to it needs to further the advancement of the piece, not say, hey, I'm lights.
Right, this is not true.
So that would be my only thing. But sound wise, it was beautiful. The orchestra was on a platform upright, and it really sets for the final scene, which I won't give away. Has a whole different feel on the final scene. It's just a really lovely piece.
Yeah, we were lucky that we got it on the first leg here in Austin,
yeah,
like we did, because, you know, that doesn't always happen sometimes.
And you know, the first thing I do, right or wrong, is I go and I read the bios for hints about whether this is an equity or non-equity production.
I know you do.
And then once I figure it out, I'm either that manages my expectations one way or the other. And so I knew this was a Broadway or a equity cast, so that heightened my expectations, right or wrong. And they lived up.
Yeah, it's a beautiful show.
What's beautiful about this actor versus, I mean, so Ben Platt was amazing. This kid was amazing, but I couldn't tell you that one was better than the other.
That's what is really always great to see when you see such two completely different performances that were both so brilliant, but just brought something completely different to it. So that video that they just recorded, he was in the song that they did with the Evan Hansen from England, Hansen on Broadway, the Evan Hansen on tour, and the Evan Hansen in Toronto, and they did a remix. And you made that into a song. You cut it into a track for me from a video, like 3 weeks ago.
And I think
he's in that.
A lot of these,
and he does look young. I think he is young.
Yeah, tall though.
Yes.
Although
I think everyone is tall.
A lot of the actors and reading the bios are, they come from the Toronto cast. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were pulled from the Toronto cast. It's so nice to . And here's one of the things. This is one of my failings. When I go to see a show, and I was thinking about this the other day, and actually it was an aha moment last night. I don't know if you guys do this. I tend to be hypercritical. And when I go to see a show, I'm looking at everything. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the lights. I'm looking at that. And I'm going, and then if the show is not so great, I'm fidgeting. I want to leave. And I don't have the same feeling when I go see a movie. And I asked myself, why can I sit through a 2-hour movie without being impatient? But it's not that. And it's because I take myself out of it. And last night I allowed myself to go in, and I was crying at the end, and I wouldn't say I was fully immersed this time, because every now and then I had to go and look at the lights and the set, and it's all wagons, it's all these computer controlled wagons that move around, but there was a file cabinet that was just sitting on the deck, and I'm going, and I every time there's a blackout, I'm looking to see if I can see somebody pulling it away, and finally it was also on a stick or something. It moved by itself.
It just recently, when Mom and I were all in the shows in New York, she looked at me and goes, sometimes I enjoy watching a show with you and sometimes I don't, because you don't allow yourself to just enjoy the show at times. And I'm like, but I do, but I have to sit right here the first time I see a show so I can take all these, how did they do that, this and that, and then I can come back and look at the things I missed or try to figure out something, or then look at it. But she goes, sometimes you just don't lose yourself, Nicole. Stop that. But then she'll lean over at times and go, how are they doing that? So I'm like, yeah, see, you just joined the party.
Shannon Sunshine, what kind of audience member are you?
I'm the audience member that gets pulled out if I see an actor on stage that I want to replace, or a character that I really want to do it. And I just get lost for a sec. And I was like, man, I would love to do that character. And
that
like,
happens to me sometimes
so it's
too.
Then I get too absorbed for a bit.
Shannon?
I get very involved. I think I let myself in. What's important to me, though, for some reason, is to know how long everything is going to be. Like, I need my expectations properly set about how long
I'm going to be there.
Yes, that's really important.
I, Well, I do and I don't. When I went to see The Ferryman, I was very nervous because mm-hmm. it's a 3.5 hour straight play. And, but I was, that was one I was like totally into. Didn't feel the 3.5 hours.
Yeah. But I still want to know before I go. You're right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go in there and be like, that was 3 hours of my life that I was not prepared for. Yes. No, I agree. I agree on that.
Well, what do you say we jump into today? Is there anything else that we need to talk about, Dear Evan Hansen?
It's playing through Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
If you want more information, austin.broadway.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That would be the important.
That would be
part.
The important stuff.
Yeah. We did not get an interview this time, and I'm not happy about it. Especially because it's this one, but next time. The next show that's coming in is... Oh, I know.
Just so you know.
What's the next show that comes in? Come From Away?
Come From Away.
In February?
Then we got The Bronx Tale. And we got Hello, Dolly. We got the...
We got a good... It's a good season this year.
With Carly... no, she just left. Yeah, no, we have Carly... Yeah, we have Carly Carmelo coming in. Carly Carmelo coming in. Yeah, sorry. I'm like...
Not a fan.
I was like, no, Betty, because Betty Buckley just left.
Not a fan. Just saying that. All
really?
Right. Yeah.
Was it you Kathy? Know what? It's you not... know what it is? It's Kathy Lee's musical Scandalous did that to you.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, you know
don't,
what?
Don't take it out on her for that.
It was the Broadway cast recording of Parade that took it away from me. Didn't like her in that.
She used to do stuff up at the Schenectady Light Opera Company.
Well, who didn't really?
When I did stuff up there.
All right, let's go in. We've only got, oh my God, we're
today
running out of time.
Today in theater history, what happened?
Well, Oscar Wilde got his second Broadway production with A Woman of No Importance.
Oh.
1919, Joe Mastaroff is born.
Really?
And he, people know him because he wrote the libretto for both Cabaret and She Loves Me.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was 1919, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it makes sense when you...
1943, City Center opened up.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was older than that.
I thought it was older than that, too.
Yeah. 1983, and I was there. I saw a new comedy by Michael Frayn called Noises Off opened.
I saw that too.
Yeah, at the Brooks Atkinson with Dorothy Loudon, Brian Murray, Victor Garber. It only ran 553
Victor
performances.
Victor Garber, I've Beetlejuiced him like 7 times this week.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know Beetlejuice when you say the name and then something.
Oh, Beetlejuice. Got it. Okay, I've never heard it used as a verb, so I got it now.
Yes, it's an excellent verb.
So in 2005, Cheetah Rivera starred in her autobiographical, Cheetah Rivera, The Dancer's Life, directed by the incomparable Graciela Danielle, and featured a script by your friend, Terrence
Mr.
McNally.
As my brother says, T-Mac, he's too cool not to have a name.
And it had new songs from Aarons and Flaherty.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Ran
That's
for
right.
72
I
performances.
I forgot about that.
At the Schoenfield Theater, and I have met Bernie Schoenfeld. There you go.
Bring it all full circle.
It does. And this is the opening of Frozen.
Let
by
it go.
Kristen. Oh, no, wrong. You know, they do these things. This is the opening of In Transit, written by
the
music.
Oh, the same people that write Frozen. Well, yeah, Kristen, that was a big switch.
I know. I saw In Transit, and there's probably a reason why it was.
I was about to
second.
Say, you saw
Actually,
it.
Actually, In Transit would, it, and it was an off-Broadway. It's a really sweet off-Broadway show. It mm-hmm. didn't, it was at Circle in the Square. It didn't really do it for me.
I like that space.
I do as well. Birthday of Rita Moreno.
Oh, speaking
Most
of.
Most Deaf.
Yeah.
Condola Rashad. Cannot talk today. And Lisa Sheps.
It's not really. Your birthday.
I know
You're
it's
October.
Not. I know it's
I
not.
Was like, wait a minute. Don't do
I
that
know
to
it's
me,
not.
Young lady.
All right. Well, we're going to skip the song I was going to play at
what
the end
it?
Of this. It was Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh.
But we're just going to close up and go out with something from your favorite person, Jagged Little Pill.
Oh,
but it was a good show. We love it when we only have one guest because we get time to talk and
we
have
do
fun.
Get time to talk and have fun. It is yeah. a little exciting.
Well, it's coming up to Christmas season. For our
almost 12 days
we have
Christmas.
A show on the 25th and the 1st, and we're just going to open it up on the 25th. We're going to have a pajama party here.
We are,
and we're going to just play music.
I know.
Yep.
That's I'm going to wear my do. Cute little flannel Rockettes yeah. pajamas. Hopefully it won't be 90-something out.
Guess what song we're going
to
play next week?
To public, 12 Days to Christmas.
12 Days to Christmas.
Best Christmas song in a musical.
All right. Do us on the social medias.
The Twitter, the Facebook, the Stitcher.
And if you're not listening to the podcast, you should be. You can get to hear about our guests at Backstage at Offstage, amongst other things.
Yeah, you just go to our website, offstageonair.com, enter your name in the little box on the right-hand side, and voila, Lisa and Nicole, we just arrive in your mailbox.
Yeah. Barring that, you can do it through Apple Podcasts. There's lots of ways to do it.
I mean, it's the 11th season now. Now you can join the fun. And if you missed all the other past seasons, they're all there.
They are. So stand by if you're listening on the terrestrial radio for Austin Monitor News. They are next with the incomparable Tracy Schultz. And if you're on the podcast, stand by for Backstage at Offstage. We will see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, folks.
Bye.
I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind.
Curtain has just come down on Windscreen, the musical. The story of popping peas as told by a string quartet and a barbershop quartet married together. Anyway, the show is over. We have just come down through the backstage, and we're standing here by the dumpsters back here in the parking lot. And we have with us Shannon Garrison, Sunshine Garrison. I'm looking at the names and I just put you together. Sunshine Garrison. And I always have to read things. I can't go by memory. And we're fortunate. We love it when we only have one guest back here because we really get to find out about you. So we're going to start, right? Like, what's your story? Where'd you come from? Were you from Austin?
I'm not from Austin. I am from the border of Louisiana and Cajun land. Bunch of hicks.
Good food.
Good food, any particular though. City?
Orange, Texas. Even smaller, actually. It's actually you Orange
had,
filled.
You had a Harvey East Texas. Hit you bad. You, Harvey, yeah.
Oh, Ike was probably worse, yeah. And then Harvey, and it's just a recycle.
You don't sound like you're from East Texas.
Thank you for saying that.
Well, I'm telling you.
That's what people say. Probably first, or they'll say, oh, thank God you got out of there.
Well, East Texas has just got such a specific draw.
It does. No, they say it. My cousin's in Beaumont, and they say that to him, too. They're like, you don't sound like you're from Beaumont.
Yeah, but if I get on the phone with my parents, it comes out another story. So fast.
So now, did you go all the way through high school in Orange?
I did.
And did you do theater in Orange?
You know, there's not a lot in Orange, honestly. When I was in high school, our theater was actually like an old cafeteria.
I will say that Sunshine just did air quotes.
And then I was wanting to do real theater, so I did Orange Community Theater, which I did all later in high school when I found it finally.
Right.
And then...
What kind of shows did Orange Community Theater do?
We did Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella.
Oh.
We did Urinetown the Musical, Anatomy of Grey, and our summer shows would
be... Those are fun shows.
Yeah.
Well, Urinetown was not what you would think of small town community theater fare.
No. Yeah.
It's a little edgy.
Yeah. I was Hope Cladwell in that, and that was like my first principal role doing that, and I'm a senior in high school, but doing in community theater, so it was very influential for me. And then we did... What got me into it was just a summer show. It's Broadway Fun for Funds, and it's essentially like a variety show. And then I wanted to keep coming back, and I did.
And so did you go to college for theater?
I did. I went to be a theater educator, which I am now. I'm holding my ID of my keys.
Well, I was going to ask. I should say that she's wearing a lanyard, and she's either... I thought maybe you worked at a Bennigan's.
You know, it does look like, you know, the...
She's got pins all
my flair.
You look like you travel.
It's required. No.
Yeah, but flair.
So you're a theater teacher here in town.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I teach at Kip Obras.
Okay. Where's that Kip?
That's the South Campus down 35.
Okay. Over by...
It's where the old Sam's Club used to be.
Yeah.
If you're familiar.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I pass that all the time. Yep. I was just there recently.
That Kmart used to be down there way back in the day, I think.
Well, awesome. And that's one of the things that I know that Kip isn't part of AISD, but what I love about AISD is there is a theater teacher in every high school. So that's great. And I'm glad to see that Kip is doing the same thing. So where did you go to college?
I did go here to UT. I got my theater studies.
So that's
studies.
How you ended up here
University
in
of Tennessee?
Austin?
Yes, exactly.
That's interesting.
Everyone in Austin is so happy you just said that.
I know.
Nails on a chalkboard for them. No, I did go here to University
so
of
was
Austin.
So to be a theater educator, are you part of the School of Theater and Dance, or are you a part of the education
Well, now the program has changed so that it is combined. But when I went, it was just acting, directing, like major things within the theater and dance department. And then the one was theater studies, which is essentially theater education. There were eight of us.
Okay. Wow.
And so how do you so after you graduated college, you went straight into teaching theater, being a theater
teacher.
I did,
yeah.
And at KIPP only, or have you been elsewhere?
No, I taught at AISD. I taught middle school there at Paredes Middle School. And then I jumped ship and I went over to California. And I was just a regular teacher for third and fourth grade because they didn't have any theater teacher positions open.
Were you in Southern California?
Yes, San Diego.
So sorry to hear that.
Oh, no, San Diego.
Actually, San Diego's not
bad. I was about to say, you just made fun of San Diego.
Well, I didn't used to like San Diego. I'm a convert.
I don't like California.
Are you in North Cal?
Yeah, if I had to choose, yeah. Well, because San Francisco, Northern California is more of an East Coast vibe. And that's what
but
I like.
The problem is it's in California.
The problem is it's in California.
That's why people are like, what? I'm like, I love Northern California. The problem is it's in California. But San Diego is a beautiful city.
It's gorgeous.
It's like an Austin.
And they had the Globe Theater.
Yes, I know.
It was so beautiful. Great theater there as well. And came back.
So what brought you back?
Well, I came back because that was essentially in the plan with the person I was with at the time. They were in the military. And so contract was up.
There you go.
Come back home. Yeah.
Well, so you're a theater educator and clearly you're working locally around town as a theater artist. And as a theater educator, you're doing everything, I'm assuming. You're directing, you're designing, you're doing everything.
I will say that I teach elementary theater.
Oh.
Yes, so I teach kinder through fourth grade theater.
I was just about
theater.
To say, what ages are you teaching now? Because you went from middle to then third and fourth grade in California, right? And then now you're doing like Peanuts.
So what kind of things are you doing with the kids?
So my fourth graders just got done with a unit where they did bilingual scenes from bilingual plays because it's a Spanish-inclusive school.
Sure.
So and it was so special having their family come see it because their families, Spanish is their first language.
Sure.
And so they can actually understand what their kids are talking about and it reflects their culture too. It was powerful.
That is so awesome.
And are you bilingual yourself?
Solo un poco.
No, well,
that's more than me. So there you go. I can say en fuego because Lisa's en fuego a lot.
So how often do you get to work outside of your school in the theater arts?
This is my fourth show this year, so which is great that I teach elementary because I'm not staying after school to do the rehearsals with middle school or high school.
Yep.
And so I've done a show every season.
Do your families or your kids, I mean, not all your shows probably are appropriate for elementary school, but do any of them come and see you in any of your performances or ask you about it? Or?
Oh, they absolutely ask me about it. I mean, in the show that I'm in right now, I tell them I'm in Five Ladies Eating a Quiche. Kind of twist on that. Because I think it's important for them to know that their teacher's a working artist. And
sure.
I'm an expert at what I'm teaching you at.
It's the first thing I always say. I went to the high school performing arts, and then I went to a college that was like that. And the first thing I always say to everybody was, the best part about both of those institutions were that my professors and my teachers were practicing in their craft.
Yeah.
That I could go and see my stage manager teacher doing stage or my improv teacher at Second City. Like, they're all practicing in what they were teaching me in that discipline. And that means something.
Yeah, and it also helps just from on a human level. When I was growing up, our teachers had no life outside of the school as far as we knew. They were just teachers, and they ceased to exist.
That's
once funny. That
bell
That's
rang. Right. They were just they appeared.
I couldn't have told you anything that my. So it's nice to know that today teachers, or at least you, are letting your students know that you have a life outside of.
There's more of a community with teachers than.
Yeah.
There was all that, like, when you were in larger cities.
I think that's right. Are you a No Plate for Hate school? No Place for Hate school?
No Plate?
We have No Tolerance, or Teaching Tolerance at our school, and Choose Love.
Right. No, No Place for Hate is a specific program in the ADL.
So we do Choose Love instead of No Place for Hate.
Cool. So if are you, do you do musicals as well?
That's our next semester.
No, I'm talking about you.
Oh, do I do musicals? Yes. Have I done one recently? No.
Uh-huh.
I was like, she has to. She did Urinetown before.
Oh, that's right. You did Urinetown. That's true. So, well, what's do you have a dream role? What do you want to do?
Oh, man. I was thinking originally, because City Austin was going to do Rent, and I was like, oh, I would love, love, love to be Maureen. That's just me on a stage, basically. I envision myself being Fanny Bryce for like Funny Girl. Mm-hmm. I would love to do that. Really just Barbara Streisand in general, I would love to be.
Yentl.
Yentl. Oh, that's probably the vinyl record that I've played the most out of my collection, to be honest.
That is really
yes.
That's kind of, and I love it. And she said vinyl on top of it.
She did
say vinyl.
It was
even like a double excitement.
That's how special it is.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And then the other thing that we ask, this is the thing that we typically don't get to your second appearance backstage. Do you have passions outside of theater? And let's pretend that teaching is also a passion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, teaching is definitely a passion of mine. I'm like currently teaching UT students that are coming into my classroom to learn how to be theater teachers. So it's like pretty metacognitive. Like I love teaching, and I love teaching teachers how to teach. Mm-hmm. And that's like eventually where I would like to be in like the university level doing that.
Cool.
That is cool.
Do you have to get an advanced degree to do that? And do you have advanced degrees?
I do have an advanced degree.
Okay. She might be going to doctor school.
No, she
eventually, I would love to be Dr. Garrison.
There you go.
But I do have my master's currently.
Well, mazel tov. So
smart people always come into this backstage area. Did you ever notice
that? Yeah, because I'm not very.
Lisa and I are not as smart as all you folks coming in here.
Well, great. I'm so happy to have had you backstage. And
yeah,
I hope that...
I've been back here.
Well, it's great.
You know, it doesn't smell too bad by the dumpsters.
No, these dumpsters, they only allow flowers.
I use the Stickums.
Remember
the Stickums?
And baked goods that have just freshly come out of the oven.
You throw away the best stuff.
Well, thank you for joining us. Best wishes on all of your endeavors. And teach those kids the importance of art.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Will do.
Great, thanks.
Bye. Papa, how I miss.